The RPG After Years is part of the We Can Make This Work Probably Network. Find out more at probablywork.com.
Attack on Final Fantasy is a podcast where IP tried to complete every single Final Fantasy game using attack only. In between the weekly main episodes, I often post other bits and bobs, like games I play on a whim, or episodes featuring my lovely wife.
Help me, you've got to help me, I've been kidnapped by a podcasting lunatic.
So, come and join me over at Attack on Final Fantasy. Wherever you get your podcasts, I think I'm pretty much everywhere these days. You lucky, lucky people.
Welcome to the RPG Years podcast, your one-stop shop for all things RPG, from the Nezhard Zelda 2s to the future of Final Fantasy 12s, and even more modern games like Nier Automata. Plus, it's RPG Club time. Ooh, yeah. Oh yes, we've got a lovely RPG Club episode for you this week, everybody, where we're going to be talking about the trip from getting to Old Arcades all the way up to Gurravegan, which was a bit shorter than expected, I will say. If you're not aware what the RPG Club is, my friends, then the RPG Club is a essentially a book club for JRPG video games, or should I be using the word JRPG anymore? I don't know, it's habit. I'm going to keep going with it. Apologies if anyone's offended by that. But yes, RPG video games. We play them in two weekly chunks, where we split the game up and say, you know, get to point A and point B in the 2 weeks, and then we'll all talk about it as a wonderful group community. And our current club is to do with Final Fantasy XII. But first of all, I'm going to do a little catch-up. So yes, obviously last week we had the Zelda 2 review, which me and Scott recorded back in December. It kind of been in my back pocket for a while, and it was burning a hole, so I decided I needed to get it out. That also now means that I've got a huge build-up of news articles, which I'm going to have to get through this episode. But for me, yep, I've finished Metal Max Returns. I don't know if I mentioned that before, but it is now in the bag. And even more in the bag, me and Skelly, Brett from the Skeleton House podcast, which you should all check out. It is amazing. He's currently doing an audio-only Let's Play of Chrono Trigger, as well as a game that I can never remember the name of. He likes to play good games with his girlfriend and bad games with his sister. That's kind of the premise. But yeah, excellent, excellent show. And Brett is a good friend. And yeah, he played with Metal Max with us, and he reviewed it with me, thankfully. So I wasn't on my own. And yeah, so next week, this episode will be the Metal Max Returns review, and you should all look forward to that. It's a I'm going to call it a JRPG because it never actually came out of Japan. So if you can call anything that, it's going to be Metal Max Returns. It was fans translated, and yeah, we had a really good time with that. If you ever want to play a JRPG with tanks, Metal Max Returns is going to be your friend. But yes, that means I've dived back in now to the next game on the list, which is Shining in the Darkness. So this, in case you're not aware, this is a dungeon crawler for the Sega Mega Drive, or Genesis, as it's called in America and other places. For some reason in Europe, we called it the Mega Drive, which is a much cooler name than Genesis. Come on, You've all got to admit that to yourselves. It's much cooler. But yes, Shining in the Darkness. I've dived back into that. I had actually started playing that at one point. So I'd kind of already done the first kind of boss and dived into the first trial. Because you kind of do the first bit, get a tiara, go talk to the king. He's like, hey, my tiara, my princess has gone missing. And then you have to go back into the dungeon and pass four trials in order to get onto the upper floors. So I've currently done two of said trials, and I've just started the third. And yep, and if you should all keep up with Deesa on Twitter, at Winter Deesa, because she is mapping the dungeons as she goes. And these maps are a glorious, glorious thing. In fact, if you come join the Discord, I posted a link to an old tweet that she did from a few years ago when we played Double Dungeons. By the way, don't anyone ever play Double Dungeons for the TurboGrafx, okay? It's terrible. But Deesa was an absolute stalwart, and she mapped the entire thing. And the final map is an absolute thing of beauty. It's like 8 pages of graph paper that she had to stick together. It's just it is a piece of art. Let's put it that way. But yeah, it's kind of, Shining Darkness is an old school dungeon crawler. And I put a meme on the Discord and on Twitter, where I was just like, I asked loads of people to play Metal Max Returns, right? Metal Max Returns is a classic style RPG for the SNES with tanks. And it is a lot of fun. I had a great time with Metal Max Returns. And I kept saying to people on the Discord, come on, play this game with me. It looks absolutely great. Oh, I'm playing it. This game's absolutely great. Look at these enemy sprites. They're bonkers. This is so much fun. No one wanted to play. And then it's just like, all right, okay, guys, Shining in the Darkness is next. This old style dungeon crawler. Loads of people have started playing it. So I put a meme of, you know, ask people to play JRPG with tanks? No. Ghetto old dungeon crawler? Yeah. It's just strange. But in saying that, I am having a good time with Shining in the Darkness. The encounter rate is through the roof, but then that's kind of the point of a dungeon crawler, isn't it? You need to encounter things in the dungeon to make it scary. But yeah, I'm going to churn my way through that game now. And hopefully the list is going to start picking up pace. I say hopefully because I know the next game is Seventh Saga, and I'm mildly dreading it. Thank you, Frost. You fill my every waking day with dread knowing that Seventh Saga is heading my way. But yeah, other than that, you know, obviously I reached a checkpoint for the RPG Club, and I'm dying to talk about it so I can get on to the next segment, because I also have some mild frustrations with this segment, which I want to talk to you guys about. So let's get on with this bumper news stuff. I'm probably not going to give it all the love it deserves because I've got a lot to get through. All right, here we are with the news.
Hear ye, gather round for all your news. Stop your clatter and listen close. Alas, you won't believe your ears. Listen close for the news.
Man, I'm not even sure how far to go back here. Looks like we're going... There was a Pokemon Presents... Yeah, level 5, yeah. We did that product stream 8th of March. Oh, that was yesterday. Ah, I should have watched that. Okay, so I missed the level 5 product stream. I'll have to find out some information about that. Kazlo, where's my information on the level 5 stream? And also there was a Pokemon Presents that came out on the 27th. And then, on a rather annoying note, the PS Plus Legend of Dagoon port has apparently got loads of port issues, which is slightly worrying overall. Apparently it's really, really buggy. There's lots of soft locks in the game, which, you know, I don't remember hearing any problems of it being on the PS3 or PS1, but I mean, that's just straight emulation, isn't it? So I wonder what they have to do differently to port it to the PlayStation 4 and above, that they can't just do a straight emulation, considering how, like, low energy effort emulation is these days. But yeah, they've obviously gone for some sort of strange thing. And then I'm assuming from the Pokemon... Sorry, moving into the next segment. Yes, the Pokemon live event, I assume, brought us the news that Pokemon Scarlet and Violet DLC has been announced for fall/winter 2023. So that's good. We should have some downloadable content for those really basic Pokemon games. You know, I know people think they're fun, but they're still basic. We need to improve it. We need to pick up the game. And then finally, Sakaguchi says he wants to bring the Apple Arcade exclusive Phantasian to PC and to make a sequel. I am all for this, Gooch. All right? If you can, do it quickly, yeah? If you can get a Switch port out, I'm going to come over there and kiss your feet, mate.
Yes.
Final Fantasy 16 is going to be at PAX East with a special panel on March 25th. So look forward to that. And to go along with that, the actual Final Fantasy 16 previews did drop. Now, this was just before I finished editing the Zelda 2 episode. I almost considered doing an episode dedicated to the fact that Final Fantasy 16 previews were dropping. But then I watched quite a few YouTube videos on it and I realised I wouldn't have much to say. You know, it's just basically a lot of popular YouTubers and influencers were flown out. I know not all of them accepted Square Enix's proposal to fly out, and some of them paid it for themselves so that they wouldn't be like, you know, Square Enix bought me out. But they all had to go to the Square Enix offices in Japan and play basically a demo of Final Fantasy 16, which kind of just demonstrated a few different points, had a few fights, including like the big summon fight between Ifrit and someone else, probably Phoenix or something. But yeah, it looked really, really cool. And everyone was rather positive about the game. But I can't really comment on other people's opinions. But there's plenty of stuff out there if you do want to go look it up. But yeah, just continuing to become excited for Final Fantasy 16. I'm going to have to find a way of getting a PS5 for a couple of months when that happens. But yeah. Trinity Trigger launches May 16th. Now, I'm quite excited about this. I do worry sometimes when there are games that look really good, and Trinity Trigger looks absolutely gorgeous. But obviously, you know, this game's triggering me because they've used the word trigger. They're trying to use a lot of kind of, they're trying to use the name of Chrono Trigger to be like, you know, this isn't going to be a spiritual successor to Chrono Trigger. And that does worry me when devs go hard down that route that is maybe not going to live up to it. But we'll see. I am very, very excited for Trinity Trigger, and that's going to come out on the 16th of May. Elden Ring DLC Shadow of the End Tree, Ode Tree, has been announced for some time in the near future. Oh, I swear Kazlo sometimes put in these games so that he knows I'm going to struggle to pronounce them. Furu Action JRPG Crimachina is coming west in fall 2023. So yeah, that's going to come out on the Switch, PS5, PS4, coming towards the end of the year. Now, even Scott beat Kazlo to this one, but the Square Enix president out of nowhere had to step down. Masuda will no longer be Square Enix president following approval and final pending finalization, which means his compensation package needs to be sorted out. But yeah, and apparently the new guy coming in is a huge NFT guy. Yeah. I think I've explained this before, though. The Japanese government is giving, like, you know, tax relief and stuff to businesses who do look into the NFT route, because the Japanese government see that as kind of like a future way of making money. So they are encouraging companies to go down this route. So it's not surprising that Square Enix are going ham on NFTs. It's worrying for us as fans, but business is business. I'm not going to comment on that. And Detective Pikachu 2 movie may have its director and writer. May. I don't like commenting too much on rumours, but I really enjoyed the Detective Pikachu movie. I took my nephew to see that at cinema, and it was great. So yeah, I am excited for a sequel. Grim Grillmore. Once more, demo has been announced for PS4, PS5, and PS Switch. But I don't know when it's actually coming out. just know it's happening soon. Ben even put in the thing, please post when it's available. I don't know anything about that game. Starfield delayed again till September 6, 2023. So if you've been waiting for Starfield to come out, you are going to have to wait just a little bit longer. Damn you, Bethesda. Wargroove 2 has been announced for Switch and PC, which brought great discourse to the Discord, where everyone's like, what, Groove 2 was good enough to get a sequel? Well, at least that was Kai's opinion. But yeah, I don't know much about Wargroove, so I've got not much to comment in. But that's pretty much all the news. Again, sorry I had to run through that so quickly. There's a lot of it, and it's an RPG Club episode. So if you do want me to talk more about these subjects, let me know in the Discord, and I will put more effort into it next week. All right, then, everybody. Let's move on, shall we? It's time for the RPG Club. Are you nostalgic for a simpler time?
A time where controllers didn't have so many buttons.
A time where games weren't so overly complicated by so many plot devices.
Yeah.
Me too. I miss my NES.
Hi, I'm Bill, and I absolutely love old video games. But I didn't have anyone to play with, so I decided to start the Super Switch Club. That's right, a podcast dedicated to discussing and reliving the nostalgia of retro video games that are also on the Nintendo Online Virtual Library. Games like
Star Fox,
Super Mario World,
Kirby's Dream Land 3,
Echo the Dolphin,
Donkey Kong Country,
The Legend of Zelda,
Castlevania Bloodline,
Super Metroid,
Shining Force,
Balloon Fight,
Punch-Out,
Sonic 2,
F-Zero,
Pokemon Snap,
and so much more.
The Super Switch Club is a Podcasters Assemble style show from the We Can Make This Work, probably, podcast network.
A podcast where we peel away the veneer of nostalgia and play some unnecessarily difficult video games, just because our friends are playing them too.
So join us on the Super Switch Club, where you can relive the nostalgia of tearing your hair out over an NES game that loves to troll the shit out of you.
Fantastic. I'm thoroughly looking forward to this.
Yeah, that sounds good.
Best of all, you can too.
Head on over to probablywork.com/SuperSwitchClub now to learn more.
Welcome to the VIP lounge. You gotta be level 99 to get in here, baby. No underlevel scrubs. So why don't you go ahead and order yourself one of our finest elixirs and one of our beautiful bunny girls will show you to your table. Kick back, relax. It's time for the RPG Club.
Yes, so welcome to the RPG Club segment where we have reached old arcades from the Soshin Palace. Is it Soshin? I got it right? Soshin. Yeah, Soshin. Soshin Palace. We reach old arcades. And old arcades is an absolute dump. it's just not a very pleasant place, but that's how it's designed. It's supposed to be the slums of arcades. And the annoying thing is that everyone here kind of has like a vague name above their heads. And then when you talk to them, it changes. And this is important because in order to get out of old arcades, which is guarded by two guards, you know, keeping the poor people away from the rich people, which is a terrible way to run your society, you have to basically distract these guards somehow. And this is like a weird little mission that it throws at you. And yeah, so I, you know, you bump into this guy called Jules who knows Balfour. There's a bit of weirdness going on. You have to pay him. Then he'll give you a little mission to do, basically. So I had the one where he said about a bag of coins. And I had to go find this guy called Beardsley. And then I found Beardsley and told him about these other two guys who apparently found his bag of coins. And then when you go back to speak to Jules, he basically says, "Oh, there's a fight going on in town." And the two guards run off. Now, these two guards, we never see the fight. We come back to our old arcades. You can come back here for a few little things. I end up doing this. I accidentally did this. I got this medallion thing, which I think is something to do with getting an Esper in Naboo Dees. Not entirely sure. I think it might have to collect a couple of medallions. I thought it was part of the next thing for Chops, and it was like the first thing I did, but I'll get to that in a minute. But yeah, you can come back into our old arcades. But there, you never see a fight, but also these two guards never return. All right? They're never replaced by from their guard duty, but they never, ever return. What happened to these two Imperial guards? That is the big question I pose to you all. Where did they go? What happened to them? They went to break up a fight and never came back. Are they dead in a ditch somewhere? Do their families know? Did the army know? Why have the army not replaced people on their post? You know, these are all questions that we must know. But yeah, basically, Jules helps you with that. Yeah, I think you have to pay him like $2,000 or something. And then and then you can go up, it calls the fight, get up into Arcades proper. And at this point, Balfour buggers off. Now, again, every time you go back to old Arcades, Balfour goes, "Hurry, not leaving without me, are you? I'm coming with you." And joins your team. But when you're in old arcades, he always buggers off. It's like, come on, Balfour. What are you doing, mate? And yeah, he gives you no idea how to get to him. And apparently we have to get a cab to Central Arcades. But the cab costs Chops. 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 Just going to settle him. Now, this was much maligned as going to be one of the worst parts of the game. And I can see why. I actually really enjoyed it. I thought this was like a nice, silly distraction from the stuff that was going on. But it was all a bit, I don't know, it was all a bit pointless and not really necessary. But it was just kind of like, it was more like a game of interactive snap. You know, you just had to join the two people together. I'm not explaining this very well. So, yeah, apparently to get a taxi, you have to have 3 chops. Okay. In the original, apparently, I think it was 12 chops in order to get on the taxi. But in the remaster, they lowered it to 3 because they obviously realized that people hated doing this. So what basically, instead of having currency, in order to move up in the world in Arcades and to get to like the richer area, people have to give you chops. And there are chops masters as well, who apparently can make your like your wooden chops into more fancy wooden chops. Like maybe they're using walnut or something. I don't know. But it's just like, it's not currency. It's more like favors. So if you do a favor for someone and help someone out, they'll give you one of their chops. And then that means you're more important because you've got more chops. But I've got so many questions about this, like economy-wise. Like, is there like a default number of chops that are allowed? And also, you've got chops masters who are making these things. Like, do you have to pay to get one commissioned? Because they wouldn't let me buy any chops. Or is there like a certain number? Like, there's 1 million chops and it's just given out to the masses and it's up to people how to use them as they go around. I mean, like, you would never give up a chop, would you? You'd be like, no, don't help me out, mate. You're not having my chops. I don't want to end up in old Arcades with no way back up. And it's just like, it's such a strange concept to be like, yeah, you've got 10 chops, mate. Well done. You can now go up a level. It's just like, what? It's so strange. But yeah, and even the first thing I did was like, I remember some guy talking about, not some guy, it was one of those little furry creatures that we met on Mount Burmese's, whatever the race they are. And I spoke to him and he said about, oh, there's this guy who's fallen in love with some woman in old Arcades and he's given up the gentry life. But he had a medallion, which he bought off me, but I need it back because it's some sort of weird magical medallion. And then, so you go and speak to this guy and he's like, oh yeah, I fall in love with this woman. I don't ever want to go back. This is my life now. I'm more happier here than I ever have been up in the big town. It's like, okay, I was thinking, wow, this is really in depth for getting my chop. And then he gave me the medallion and I went back to the guy and then I went back to the furry fella back in the weapon shop, I think it was. And he gave me the other half of the medallion. Or something. It was so confusing. It was just like, oh, this thing's now got more magical power. Now it was held by someone who's known true love. And it's just like, it's just like, and then he gave me the medallion. I was like, where's my chop? You didn't give me a chop for this? No, the chop is just talking to the NPCs outside. And it's just like, you've got one person who's like aspiring to become a judge. And then there's another person walking around who is a judge, who likes training judges. It's like, oh, okay. If I tell you two about each other, one of you's going to give me a chop. And I had a little bit of fun with this, just going around going, okay, you're telling me this, you're telling me this, you're telling me this. Oh, then suddenly being like, ah, you're matched with that woman who's running around just over there. And they were always quite close to each other. So I didn't have too much of a bad time matching them up. And even once I got to 3, I was just like, I'm having a bit of fun with this. So I carried on. I'm probably the only person in the world who's had a bit of fun with this little thing. I think I got up to like 14 or 15 and I was a bit like, I think there's another area I can do this in, but I just can't be bothered. I'm done now. I'm not sure how many I need to swap over to get a sandalwood chop, and I'm not sure what the advantage of getting a sandalwood chop is. So if anyone wants to explain that to me, please let me know in the Discord, and I'd be lovingly wary to know about it. Okay, so I did a little bit of equipment upgrading, and then I got in the cab and went to the next area of Arcades, which... even still, I think I had to like blag my way over there. If that makes sense. Yeah, I remember I had to give Jules some more information. I think it was like another 2,000 gil. Oh no, I gave him the 2,000 gil and he explained how I needed to get all the chops in order to get to where all the gentry live. And then I did all the chops. Let me just check. I was 28 chops in total to get a sandalwood chop. Oh my word. All right, I'm not doing that. And so once you get there, you bump into Balfour, who then tells you that basically Jules has completely mugged you off. He actually gave Jules the chops you needed to get to the central area of Arcadis. You're like, oh, that fucking Jules, man. He's such a little con artist. And then, then he tells you that in order to get to the Dark Lord Laboratory, you have to get into a cab. And he's bribed the cabbie, and the cabbie will just take you there if you say, you know where to go. You know where to go. And then that'll take you on to the Dark Lore Laboratory. Now, it's an uber cool cutscene when you come, when you fly up to the Dark Lore Laboratory. You basically start off on like the 60 something floor, and you get this really cool, this huge, enormous building where the taxi flies up to it and parks in it. And, you know, Balfour mentioned that Sid was his dad, right? And that his dad had basically invented all the technology for all this flying cars and malarkey that they've now got, which has accelerated the Empire. But how are they building these huge monolithic buildings before they had these flying cars? Like, these monolithic building, like this huge building looks like it was built to have a taxi thing sitting outside of it. But then that means it was built in the last 10, 15 years. I mean, I suppose it's possible. But yeah, anyway, I'm just transgressing on that one. Is transgressing even a word? Anyway, you have to go into the Dark Lord Laboratory and you have to basically try and track down Sid's office. And there's a number of elevators in here that you have to go up and down. And then kind of all hell breaks loose and they lock it down because someone's apparently trying to attack Dr. Sid. And we haven't been discovered yet, so we're kind of thinking, ah, someone else is here. And we keep finding all these fallen soldiers about. And then there's this really annoying thing where there's red doors and blue doors. And you have to go into a separate room to flip the switch to open the red doors and close the blue doors and vice versa in order to get around. And it's just like, why? I mean, could you imagine working in a laboratory where that was the case? Where you had to go to one door to open it in order to get to one half of the lab. But then also, parts of those lab would then be closed off by the other red door. So then you'd have to go all the way back and open it back up. Just like, just give me a key card, man, that will open certain doors that I've got access to. Like, that makes way more sense than using this random system, which anyone can use, to open up the gates. Mildly frustrating just to work your way around and then try and get yourself up to Dr. Sid. But some cool items to pick up along the way. And then eventually we reach Dr. Sid's office. And just before we go in, we're attacked by this weird bald-headed guy with absolute beautiful silvery mutton chops on his face. Oh yes, mutton chops. Oh yeah, can you feel that? And he's some sort of weird pirate person who's come to attack Sid for some reason. I think he's trying to steal one of the shards off of him. But we don't really know why. We don't know who he is. He's just suddenly come in here for plot reasons. And he initially attacks us and then realises that we're kind of part of the same goal. Even though, and he recognises Balfour as being Sid's son as well. But yeah, he decides to sort of join in with us to try and help take Sid down. And Sid's kind of being really weird and cryptic and talking to himself. And we get into this big fight. And I was worried about this fight because I remember it being really, really difficult when I first played this game, like 20 years ago, whenever it came out. And yeah, it was kind of easy. I didn't really do much, to be honest with you. It was just like occasionally just adjusting myself to keep myself alive. I think at this point as well, I hadn't adjusted my characters to have any, like, I haven't got a time mage yet. I know I've since gone in and changed, I think it's Fran? I can't even remember now. See, it's been a week since I played. So I got to Guravagan and I just stopped and I put it down and I don't play it until I get back. And I didn't do any massive side questing this time either, but I'll get into that once I get to the end of the segment. But yeah, I didn't have any problems with Sid at all. He pulled out his giant comical gun, sprayed out these weird juices everywhere. It's really weird. He's got like this big, powerful Nephesite gun. It's pretty cool, but it looks absolutely comical in consideration of everything else that we've been through in this game, where it's kind of very old-style medieval with a few futuristic sci-fi things sprinkled in. Just suddenly, big comical gun. Looks very Xenoblade. Yeah, Sid. I defeated him really easy. And this is kind of where I'm starting to get a bit like, oh, I think I'm a bit over-leveled at the moment, which I totally am. But yeah, took out Sid, and then Sid, well, you don't even take him out. You get to a point where he's most of the way down. And then he reveals, that he's actually being protected by a phantasm, which is like Mia, wasn't it? Fran's sister. She had one of those attached to her when we had that big fight with her. And he's also got the Midnight Shard and the Dusk Shard, or is it Dawn Shard? I think it's Dusk Shard. Dusk Shard and Midnight Shard. I think we've got the Dawn Shard. he's got those two shards in his hands, and he says, "I'm off to Guravagan." Just like, all right, mate. yeah, apparently there's another Nephesite crystal there which can be weaponized. So he's off to Guravagan to go get it. So that's kind of our, our MacGuffin for where we've got to go next. Thanks, Sid. I wouldn't have known anything where to go. But he's basically encouraging you to follow him there as well. So it kind of feels like he's luring you into a bit of a trap. Yeah, and then he flies off, and then we escape out with Redis, or who we soon discover is going to be Redis. The weird thing that Dr. Sid leaves on is, take the reins of history back into the hands of man. I don't know, because he's talking directly to Ash when he says that. And it's a bit like, very nice and cryptic. But yeah, we end up in Balfonheim Port. I like that one. Very German sounding name, isn't it? Balfonheim. I'm just going to call it the port town from now on, because I'll definitely forget what that is. And we basically find out that Redis is the head of like the pirate clan. So him and Balfour obviously kind of know each other. And then there's some other pirates that don't really seem to have much use to the plot. One of them's very scantily dressed. She's basically wearing like a top and some underwear. Can help but point out on the Discord. Some of the design choices for the female characters in this game are very questionable. The men don't fare much better, to be honest with you. A lot of them just have like leather straps covering their nipples and stuff. This is very much like the Masuda's like, was it Masuda who made this game? I can't remember. It's like he's like, you know, BDSM dream, this game. But yeah, he tells us about how the Marquis has got a giant air force together, and he wants to attack Arcades and Vane, who's now in charge of Arcades, obviously. But he's reluctant to do so because he's worried about the fact that he's got these Dawn Shards, weaponized Nephesite, to attack them with. And Redis was at Dr. Sid's place because he was trying to steal said Nephesite to take away that threat. And so they say that they're kind of, because they've, although they've amassed this huge resistance air force to go up against Arcades, and they reckon they can match them toe-to-toe, they will ask for the Rosarians to help. And then Bosch is the one who pops up and goes, that's a terrible idea, because Vane has got the ability to use weaponized Nephesite. And if you get the Rosarians involved, he can take out the resistance and the Rosarians in one fell swoop. So that is not a great idea. Now, Bosch, you finally served the purpose, my friend. You just come across as like the bodyguard type, you know. Balfour's the one who's all the scheming stuff. Ash is the one who's just kind of like fumbling along, trying to work out the best way to protect her people. And then suddenly you come up with like politically genius, sorry, politically, like a military genius commandership compared to the people who are currently running this operation. It's like, you should leave my team immediately and go join Ondor, because he's going to definitely mess this up the way he's going. So We as a party decide, you know, we're not gonna join you right now, despite the fact everyone wants to protect Princess Ash. We're gonna follow this lead of Guravagan, because currently Vane hasn't got the Dawn, the Dusk Shard and the Midnight Shard. Sid has, and Sid left for Guravagan. So if we try and catch up with Sid, we can maybe intercept those and take that power away from Vane. And then, no, then you can go ham with your giant airship battle. Redis then leaves to do something else, and then we're just left to kind of make our way over to Guravagan. And to get there, we have to go through the Fey Wood. Now, I was dreading the Fey Wood, because I had nightmares about this from when I was younger. Obviously, when I was younger, I was hugely underleveled. And the game at this point, in fairness, is quite fair. It throws a ton of hunts at you. You can go off and do side questing galore and get your levels up for this bit. But again, I'm already at the point where I'm over leveled, and I didn't have any problems. You know, I went back to the Gilmore Jungle, went down south and went into the Feywood. I then walked around the first bit of the Feywood like two or three times, because where the save crystal is and you can go south to get into like the Feywood proper, and there's like a boss fight against a plant. For some reason, I didn't see it, and every time I checked my map, I hadn't quite triggered the low enough part of the map to bring up the next part of the map, where it shows a little line. You go, you can exit here. So it's like, oh man, I missed that three times. I went on Jagged and looked at a map of the area. I was like, well, that's not my map. Went there, like, oh yeah, there it is. So yeah, and also there's a because I was on the thing, I saw that there was a chest by the save point for another one of those EXP accessories, the double EXP for fights. I was like, oh, brilliant. It has a 25% spawn rate. I was like, oh, that's good odds. That's 1 in 4, you know? So I kept going in and out of the area over and over. I got to about 20 times, plus the fact I'd already been through here 3 times previously. So 23 times I went in and out of that area waiting, hoping I'd get my 25% chance of this chest spawning. Never got it. Punch Drunk Dave did it on like his second try. Damn you! I am so unlucky with things like this. I'm gonna admit to something here, people. Someone, I think it was Punch Drunk Dave, posted a video in the Discord of how to get the bow from the airship that goes from Rabanasta to Nabadees. No, not Nabadees. You know, you get on the airship and there's like a thing where you could do some RNG manipulation to get a bow, which is like really overpowered, Sagittarius or something it's called. And I thought, oh yeah, I'll do that and give it to Fran. Give her a little boost up. And I spent about half an hour trying to do this. And it's an invisible chest as well, okay? And there's very specific things you have to do. You have to go in and out like 6-7 times after doing some specific sets for, like, you have to take everyone out of your party. You can only have Van. And then you have to have diamond armlet accessory equipped. I managed to do it. I tried it about 6-7 times. I got the chest to appear once, and then you're supposed to wait for this kid to run back like 3 or 4 times. You need the camera in the right place. And on the 4th time when he reaches his mum, you've got to push the button, and then you'll get the bow. Guaranteed, apparently. I did it, and I got a knot of rust. I was like, oh, sod this. Just restarted my game. I'm coming out of it. I can't bother. I don't even want that knot of rust in my inventory. It's just gonna stare at me, mocking me. So I've got no luck when it comes to these random spawning chests, and I'm just not going to bother them anymore. But yeah, I went down and I killed the weird little plant thing. Again, slaughtered it. Don't remember, didn't have any real trouble with it. Just absolutely took the guy down. And then you get into the next part. And again, this next part is supposed to be... I remember it being challenging and I remember it being difficult. You're supposed to go into these... I feel bad brushing over that boss, but I literally just tore it to pieces. I had no trouble with it whatsoever. But yeah, you kind of go into this like weird part of the Feywood where it's all misty. It almost looks like a snowy area again, but it's just because the mist is so thick, and like your camera and like the little radar thing you have in the top corner goes all fuzzy. So I was thinking, oh man, I'm gonna get into an Esper battle here. Maybe that's what I was having trouble with before last time. But no, it's just the way it is. There's these little areas like shrine things that you get to, and you're supposed to spin the camera around in a circle until you can see one of them that looks clear. Looks like a jungle scene, and you're supposed to run through that and keep going straight, and then that'll take you to the next one. And you're supposed to keep doing this in order to get to the next area. It'll basically guide you like an arrow to get into the next zone. And I didn't work that out at all. You know, I went into the first one, I just clicked on the little thing in the middle where it gives me the clue. I clicked on it like 3 or 4 times, like, I don't understand this. I just ran around for a bit, and then I got into the next area, and then I also picked up an item. What was the item? Oh yeah, I got the spell Reflectiger, which is pretty cool. And then I did the same thing in the next area. I got all the way to the southern corner, and I saw a little line on my map. There's this big door, and it said something about a cryptic message where it said the Gaius that strikes the smouldering brimstone. And I was just like, what? So I just bought up Jagged. Just like, what's going on here? And it just said, oh, you got summon Bellius. It's like, I assume I worked that out back in the day. Like, I have got a guide. The Final Fantasy 12, like one of the official ones. It's downstairs. I haven't looked at it. Actually, it's a good point. I should have a look at the guide. I haven't looked at it once for this playthrough. But yeah, I was just like, oh, thanks, internet. You've saved me probably about an hour's worth of headaches here. So I used Bellius and got in there. But I didn't do any of that puzzle correctly. You know, it wasn't a requirement to actually get into the next area, which I find slightly disappointing. I think it should have been a requirement that you have to trigger all those pillar or all those shrine things in order to progress, but no, not the case. You can beeline it straight for the southwestern corner of the Feywood and get through. And then that brings an end to our segment. We basically walk in and That's pretty much it. I mean, Ash again sees the vision, a ghostly vision of Rassler, but this time Varn can't see it. So again, very suspicious that sometimes Varn can and can't see it. Makes me wonder what's going on there. But yet we have entered into the beginning of Gurren. So I'm going to call it a day there. Now, I mentioned about being overleveled and side questing. I've been enjoying the side quests a lot, but I was kind of doing it because I was nervous about how underleveled I felt playing parts of the game. So I was trying to keep myself on top of things. And I was kind of assuming, and when I get to Frost's feedback, he's gonna echo this as well. I was kind of feeling the fact that I was assuming the hunts and everything, all the side quests that go along, are kind of there to keep you on par with the actual game, the actual main storyline. But that is not the case. I walked forward in Gurren to the next area, and there was a boss, and it's an iron giant fella. So I have mildly dipped my toe into the next segment, which is a shame as well, because the next segment's really short. Okay, I didn't realise how short this was going to be. I remember Gurren and the Great Crystal taking a long time. Okay, but you basically, the next segment is two dungeons. So I do apologise about that, but it's too late now. We're too far gone with this. So yeah, this is Iron Giant fella. I don't think he's called an Iron Giant. I think he's got a funny name. But yeah, and I had my B team in at this point because I'd been leveling them up as I got through the Feywood. And Bosch just literally ran up to this boss. And I was like, I'll just see if I'm the right level. And then I'll go do a bunch of side quests if he's quite difficult. And Bosch, it was literally like horrific to watch. Like Bosch, he just like, it was, you know, have you seen that scene with Malcolm X where they beat that guy up and then like crushes teeth on the curb? Like it was kind of like that. Bosch just literally just beat this guy to death by himself, and it was just like, well, I was controlling Fran, I think, just standing at the back, just watching it going, Bosch just slaughtered this guy in seconds. And it's just like, I haven't got anything special with Bosch. He's just got his like just weapons I've been picking up along the way. I haven't gone out of my way and got him a decent weapon or something that like absolutely tanks at this point. I haven't done any sort of bizarre like manipulation with items to get him something special. He's my B team guy, and it was just like, oh man, you're a scary mother foe. Bosch, like, that was harsh. That was literally hard to watch. I felt so sorry for the Iron Giant. Like, Bosch, man, you're a monster. An absolute monster. Yeah, so I'm kind of at the point now where one of the things I like about RPGs is that I like tough bosses. You know, I like getting to a boss and it sometimes kicking my ass, and me having to go back, level up a bit, come back and having a tough fight. Especially when it comes to end bosses. I'm always talking about it on the reviews. I like to rate a boss on how hard it is, a final boss. Because a final, like, as you know, if it's like impossible hard, like Dark Link or Alan, it's not fun. But if it's like real challenge using everything that you've learned in the game, like, yeah, that's it for me. But at the moment in the game, if I keep doing all the hunts and stuff, I'm not going to get that from the end boss. So I'm just going to pretty much try and speed through the game as much as possible because I'm over-leveled. I want to get myself under-leveled slightly before I get to the end, which is a shame because I wanted to do all the side hunts and all the side quests. And I might give it a go after we finish the club, but you know what I'm like. I can't see that actually happening. So it's a shame, but I think I'm at the point now where like I've already missed a few minor side quests as I've gone along. I would have liked to have done all the hunts. I might go back and do all the hunts and get all the espers at a pinch, but I think for now I'm just going to try and speed it on to the end, which is a shame because it means I'm going to play less of the game, but then it also means I'm probably going to play more of Shining in the Darkness, which means I'll get to the 7th Saga quicker. Yeah, so I think that's it for me. I'm getting quite a dry mouth. I'm going to have a quick swig of coffee and then we're going to get back into the feedback for this segment. So welcome to the FF12 Segment 5 Chops Back. See what I did there? So again, as always, we start off with Frost, who is... he's even more overleveled than I am. Well done, Frost. So he completed at level 55 at 48 hours. Wow, I think I'm like 32 hours. I'm like high 40s, I think. 44 or something. 44, 45, somewhere around that sort of area. This part of the game is where I started to fall off, because the game I'm playing is not the same game. I find the optional content so rewarding that it leaves me way over leveled and over equipped to the point of one-shotting almost everything in a normal story progression. This usually means that I'm left bored and without a challenge for the last half of the game. Yep, that's exactly what I'm feeling. That's why I'm stopping. I'm not sure what to do because it feels like optional content that I've done, with the exception of the Hellworm. Why can't I say that? Someone tell me how to pronounce that. W-Y-R-M. I really need to know how to pronounce that properly. I'm going to say worm from now on. Was the correct level of challenge for where I was in the game. It felt wrong not to do it. Highlights of this section. Gutting out the Hellworm and its 1 million HP for almost 2 hours at level 50. Do not recommend, he says in brackets. The Gilgamesh Hunt. Oh, I do want to do the Gilgamesh Hunt. But again, the items you get for it are going to make me overleveled and overpowered. The Gilgamesh Hunt. Make sure you steal all four pieces of Genji gear. The fact that it makes you summon Belius to get into Guravagan was cool. Yeah, that was pretty epic. He does this like weird smash thing with his hand and it opens up the gates. Really cool. You wish that had kind of been more of a thing, that you'd have to use certain espers throughout the game to open up certain roadblocks. That would have been great. You know, rather than just having this like one-off moment, it's just like, yeah, you know, you need the lightning one to do this, and then you have to go off and find him somewhere. That would be pretty cool. All right. Anyway, next up, Winter Disa, mapping in the darkness. Oh, I love winter. Winter, I love your maps. All right, don't ever change. I love you so much. Checkpoint reach, some nasty stuff in the Feywood section with constant status effects, but after that, it was fairly smooth sailing to the goal. Maybe my gambits are set up, so I didn't really notice any of those things. I do have Asuna on, like, as a guaranteed thing for anyone who gets anything. But I know that's not going to work for something coming up. Is it disease or something like that? Yeah, I'll have to figure that out when I come to it. I find my mind wandering a lot during cutscenes. I truly wish I could connect with the characters. I don't really care for any of them too much. That is my biggest issue with the game. I don't care too much for the design of them, and I don't feel like I know them. I sound like a broken record by now, but that's my thoughts in a nutshell. It's such a fantastic gameplay. I wish it came in another wrapping, because it's so fantastic you can mostly forgive it for not having memorable stories or characters. When I'm most having a blast in the games, when I'm exploring new areas, raising my levels quickly, and slaughtering fiends, that's where it shines. Also, chops were annoying. Very, very annoying. Punch Drunkicus Davicus, he says, checkpoint obliterated. I'm pretty sure I've seen in the post that Dave's actually now finished the game. I think he definitely has. I really should have written down my feedback for this section when it was fresh in my mind. I did remind you, because at least the last 30 to 40 hours of gameplay has strictly been end game stuff. One thing I do remember is the battle with Sid in Draclaw Laboratory. How the hell could someone forget the size of that minigun that Sid was wielding? That really should have been an added unlockable on the license board. I agree. Navigating through the Feywood was interesting. I enjoyed the puzzle in getting through that area. Like Frost mentioned, summoning Belius to gain entry into Guravagan was clever. I do recall enjoying this section overall, even though in my most recent weeks I've been grinding out the bestiary entries and completing the rest of the hunts. I can honestly say that I'm going to be bummed when I finally 100% the game. It's been a joy to play, and I'm stoked that you all voted for it, as I had been meaning to give it a go, to give this game a replay for years now. I can't wait to give my feedback on the Great Crystal levels. I was humiliated upon my first visit, and some of the other endgame super bosses. Gasaraki? Have I actually got that right? Oh, I hope I've got that right. Gasaraki, otherwise known as AKA Gary. this felt like a fast segment compared to the last, and I enjoyed it so much more. So far, my party level is average is 37. Wow, that's low. I think it's time to start grinding again. I wanted to in this segment, but felt a bit behind time-wise. I enjoyed the fight with Sid in this section. He was pretty badass, but a bit easy. Maybe it will get another round against him, as he did run away in the end. The boss fight after him, I forgot the boss's name, but the plant boss, was very interesting. My party lost all their MP. Oh yeah, he drained your MP quickly, didn't he? And I immediately sent a message on Discord as I was a bit in shock. But in the end, it was just how the boss was. Every time my party hit the boss, we lost our MP. I quickly switched over to do all melee damage dealers and took it down with ease. I think the area that you're in drains your MP while the boss is there. I think that's the gimmick there. Great segment. Looking forward to going to the end of the game. Yoshiri00. Checkpoint reached a few days ago. Took me a bit longer than expected, but I got a little stuck. Plus, I got sidetracked by the new Game Boy games on NSO. Super Switch Club. Go check it out. The fight with Sid was incredible. It initially seemed like it was going to be a breeze through the battle, but then the comically oversized gun appeared and made quick work of my team. I beat him on the second attempt after revamping gambits to ensure my health was at its highest before he tried that again. The Chops quest! Man, now I understand why you're all mocking it. It was somewhat dull, but the City of Arcades has some beautiful architecture and is possibly my favourite location in the game so far. I spent a fair amount of time backtracking during this segment to clear up some of the neglected hunts and to level up my backup party members. So we finished the segment at similar levels. Everyone is now around 41. Now I have some better equipment, better stats, and almost completed license balls for most of my characters, and should be in a much better place to finish the game in the coming weeks. This was also the first segment where I had to use a guide, and then felt a bit stupid for doing so. I was lost in the Feywood looking for the way to Guravagan. I could not find the exit. Little did I know, it was just south of the save point. I'm glad I'm not the only one who did this thing. That I walked past about 10 times before giving up and turning to YouTube. Yeah, don't worry, Yashiri. As I said, I did that exact same thing, so don't worry. I'm in the same boat. I don't know how I missed it. Just needed that little... just edge a little bit further south than we did. Arobi, the leading man, says, "This was a rather quick segment, but it is serving up the appetizer of the lore dump that is coming up in the next section." Oh, good. So maybe even in the next section, short, I'll have a lot to talk about. The Chop side quest isn't bad when you have a guide. I didn't use a guide. I didn't find one. The side quests have made me over-leveled to the main story at this point, and I only find difficulty in my hunts and Esper fights now, which isn't horrible since this is my fifth time playing the game. Wow! So I've had the experience of a difficult boss battle before. I have decided on my final party, Pinello, Ash and Bosch, which sadly mean Von, Fran and Balfia are doomed to sit on my menu screen, only to be used in the direst of emergencies. But next section is where the lore will actually come, and I find myself excited to read and experience it again. Could 12 be moving up in the ranks of my favourite FFs? Possibly. Ooh, interesting. I would like to see where everyone ranks this after playing it. That'll be an interesting data point. Sky Pirate Rob Fonke says, "I'm not sure how I felt about this section. I was excited to go to Arcades, but the information and Chops puzzles didn't feel like they matched the rest of the game, and that really threw me." It kind of matches the game with the mini side quests that you can do, you know, most of the ones that I've missed so far, but they just come out of like just chatting to people. So like that Desert Whim thing that I beat because I managed to find the weather vane. That whole quest was just randomly talking to people and just finding out the bits of information that they had. So the Chops quest kind of matches that feel of the game. But then again, it's the first time that it was kind of really a requirement. And again, they do it a bit in some of the hunts as well, where you have to do stuff like that. Like that one underground, like that White Moose one, where you have to get the key and like someone's stolen something and they're lying on the floor. Things like that, you know, they are in here. But yeah, this was the first time where it's just like a big major one that you had to do. So it does feel a bit weird. The Feywood with all the status effects was a pain, and I learned the hard way not to rely on gambits and then that spam Thunderguff. Wow, I have barely used Thunderguff. I'll have to check that out. When I encountered enemies with Reflect on it, oh yeah, I can see why now. It ended badly, he says. I think I finished this section annoyed at the game as I found it overall a bit shitty. Hopefully the next segment returns to how good the rest of it has been. Side note, I've done no optional stuff for the last few segments due to lack of time. I'm hoping to start on them this time, as it's where everyone seems to be having fun. Agreed. Side questing in this stuff is great. And that brings an end, my friends, to the feedback. So I hope you've enjoyed this week's episode. Again, I love doing the RPG Club. Next up is going to be to finish the Great Crystal. If you're using a guide, it probably won't take you long. If you're going in blind, good luck, my friends. You are a servant of mankind and you are a better person than I. The thing is, I know once I'm lost in there, if I have to start using a guide afterwards, I'll be very confused. But yeah, I think I'll give it a try, but without a guide. You know, it's a short segment after all. So yeah, get yourself through Guravagan, people. Get yourself into the Save Crystal. And the next segment after that, we will be finishing the game. But for now, just finish the Great Crystal. and that is due March 19th. All right. And then we'll be finishing the game April 2nd. I can smell it, people. My first RBG club, and I can smell myself actually doing it. actually finishing it. It's going to be good. So if you want to get in touch with the show, you can reach out to us on Twitter. You can reach me at Metunica, M-E-T-U-N-N-I-C-A. You can reach the show at RPG Years. And if you want to come in and talk to us on the Discord, please join the Discord. It's on our pinned tweet in Twitter. It's in the show notes below. And you can find a link on our website at probablywork.com, which is part of the network. And go on, also, if you want to help support and grow the show, you can also join us on Patreon. Yes, we are on Patreon. That is where, if you are a member of Patreon, you can join in with the voting for the next RPG Club game, which is coming up soon. So, yep, you get to vote. Well, you get to nominate and then vote on which games are nominated to see which one will be our next RPG Club game. And I'm excited for that a lot. I've been playing such a wide variety of games recently, you know, tank games, dungeon crawlers, Final Fantasy 12. It's been great fun. I really want to play Chained Echoes, but I'll have to try and do that on the side. But yeah, I hope you all enjoyed it this week. I hope you all got your chops, mutton chops. Yeah, and maybe our chops is over. Maybe chops will come back. Who knows? But we're in the city of Guruvagan, and it's going to get weird. All right, everyone. Love you all. Bye.
This has been a presentation
of the We Can Make This Work
Probably Network.
Follow us on Twitter
at Probably Work for more of our questionable content.
Also, we have a website called probablywork.com.